brother. And if you want, you can present or however you want to do it, if you want to play it right away or introduce it.
Well, good morning. My name is Bruce. My wife Amanda here is with me, and our daughter Belle is going down with the littles. So she's going to have a fun time, I'm sure. We are missionaries going to the country of Gabon, Africa. I am sent out of Tabernacle Baptist Church in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and we are partnered with Silent Word Ministries International. We work with both hearing, blind, deaf, lame, pretty much anybody we can get our hands to, we're going to work with them. And so we're very thankful for the opportunity to go. I'm going to, right now, we're going to have our DVD play that'll take away a lot of the overall frequently asked questions, but it gives you a better understanding of who we are, what we're doing, and it really helps me narrow down what I have to talk to in a few minutes.
À toutes les créations. Gabon is located in West Central Africa, surrounded by Cameroon, Equatorial Guinea, and the Congo. Gabon received their independence from France in 1969 and is one of the most prosperous African nations. It is also one of the few African countries never to engage in civil war. There are over 2 million people in Gabon today, and while most of the people are descended from freed slaves, the Gabonese are still enslaved to the master of sin. The majority profess French Catholicism with growing Muslim and charismatic influences. Once, missionaries had flooded the coast of Libreville, but without proper training and discipleship, the churches soon fell to moral and political corruption in the absence of the missionary. In 2013, my wife and I were able to go and to visit the country and to see the cities, but we were unable to find a Bible or Baptist church anywhere among them. While on our survey trip, the Lord opened up a miraculous door for my wife and I to have a meeting with the Prime Minister of Gabon. She listened with interest as we told about our plans to come back and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with her people. She began to cry and tell us that she had been praying for years that more missionaries would come and to share the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. We, Bruce and Amanda, have been called by God to this country of Gabon. We are seeking your prayer support and financial support as we reach these people with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. I was born and raised in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. From an early age, I saw my need of a friend and Savior in Jesus Christ. I was saved when I was 7 years old, and after being baptized, I got plugged into our church's bus ministry and soul winning. I've always had a heart for missions, and while I prayed over a map of the world, asking God where would He send me, the Lord directed me to the country of Gabon.
I was born and raised in a Christian home in Torrington, Connecticut. My parents took me to church every time the doors were open, and when I was 4 years old, I heard a message on hell. That night after the service, I went home and knelt beside my bed, praying and asking Jesus to save me. As I grew older, though, many doubts began to fill my mind. One night, I couldn't handle all the doubts anymore. I opened up my Bible, and I read in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." That night, I claimed the Lord's promise in that verse. I do not
I
I've had to run the deaf version before where we didn't have sound. I've never had it actually cut out halfway through on me like that before. But that's okay. So I can fill in the rest of the gaps. For the rest of my wife's testimony, you need to come back last Wednesday night. And those of you who are here, we were blessed to come in and give our testimonies. And the Lord directed us both independently to work in missions and working with the deaf specifically.
Less than 1% of all deaf have ever seen a clear presentation of the gospel, and about 400 of them will die today. So for the 399, where will they end up? Some people say, oh, well, they are ignorant. God will just sweep them under the carpet into heaven. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. The Bible says that we were conceived in sin, we were born sinners, and that the wages of that sin is death. There is none righteous, no, not one. So to know all those ins and outs, you have to understand the deaf, they're not stupid. They can understand, they can work, they can excel, they can do things just like you and me. They have hopes, they have dreams. I was in Cameroon back in 2013. We were working in a small village of Indoop. There's three Baptist churches in the one dirt road village. And so we were visiting one of the deaf men, and he was sitting behind his bungalow shucking corn for his dinner. And I asked him, I says, well, what do you want to do with your life? And he says, well, I want to go to America. Everybody everywhere wants to come to America. So that doesn't take me by surprise, but I asked him, what do you want to do when you get to America? He says, I want to work for NASA. You've got expectations and hopes and dreams. I said, so why do you want to work for NASA? He says, because when I look at the stars, I'm so filled with amazement for the creator of those stars, I want to tell everyone about him. I said, you don't have to work for NASA to do that. Really? Yeah, go talk to your pastor. And, hey, they got hopes, they got dreams. I don't really know if that man's ever going to make it to NASA or even to the United States. But they can serve God. I don't have time. I can talk about other deaf men. And our ministry is not exclusively to the deaf. I want you to understand that. But we do encompass them in our ministry because God did. Jesus did while he was here on the earth. There was a deaf man who said, I wanted to be a missionary to Africa, and a lot of people said, you can't do it. We'll send a hearing man instead. God took that deaf man. He took him from one side of Africa all the way from ocean to ocean, starting over 31 churches that are still going today. Hearing and deaf, thousands, millions of lives were spared from by his ministry. Souls were saved. The full ramifications of what God did with a deaf man, you will never know this side of eternity. But people told him you couldn't do it because you're deaf. No, God can use anyone unless you're full of pride. If you're full of pride, I can't use you. Be full of the Holy Spirit. So our ministry, Gabon right now, they do not have a Bible church, they don't have a Baptist church anywhere among them. Some people say, why do I say Bible church? When you go around a lot, sometimes you can find a good Bible church that preaches the Word of God. What I mean is, there's not a church over there that preaches salvation by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. They have a lot of charismatic movements. A lot of Islam is starting to creep in. It's not as militant as in other countries. You have a lot of Catholicism there. But as you see here on this one verse on your banner from Amos chapter 8, behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst, nor of water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. Do you understand why God cursed the land like that? Because they oppressed the poor. They oppressed the poor, and Amos chapter 8 and verse 12 continues and says, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall find it not. When you have groups of people who come in and say, let me give you the word of God, put up a tent, have a big brouhaha, a healing ceremony, take up an offering, tomorrow they're gone. There's a dearth there. There's an emptiness there. There is not the preaching of the word of God there. So now I know that curse was specifically to Israel because of what they did. But you find that everywhere that the charismatic movement, where the Catholics go, everywhere that the Islams go, everywhere that all these things happen, where there is not the preaching of the Word of God, you do find people are hungry. I don't want to ask. I mean, you could ask many churches. How many of you came from a church that did not preach the Word of God? You came here, heard the preaching of the Word of God, and it was just different. You felt fed for once in your life. And people will come to churches where there's preaching of the Word of God because they're hungry for that. Gabon doesn't have that. They did not have it in 2013. They did not have it in 2016. They did not have it in 2018. And my last known record of it was just last December, before all the shutdowns happened, by a man named Jeff Cole, who used to be a Baptist pastor in North Carolina. He now is an international educations major that restructures third world countries' education programs. That's what he does for a living. Gabon actually hired him to come and restructure their education program. So they hired a Baptist pastor to come do their education. So I'm kind of thrilled about that, because I might like to see some of the stuff that he puts in and takes out. So he's coming. He's looking for a place to worship on Sunday morning, and he can't find anywhere. If you've ever been in a work job site where you can't serve God, or you can't work and you can't hear the preaching of God's word, that dries you up inside. I've been there. I know what that's like. And he's like, brother, we need to get more men over here. I said, absolutely. That's what we're doing. We're going to start a church in the capital city of Libreville. The capital city is about 700,000 to 800,000 people. And we are going to start a church there that will be indigenous and self-reproducing. It will be independent, hopefully, Lord willing, by His grace and by His power, independent of furthering American funds, so that they will rely on themselves and rely, well, not rely on themselves, but they'll rely on God, not on America. And we know how this works. We've seen it work in other countries. And when you build a church like that, based on the Word of God and based on a relationship with God, you can't stop it. The gates of hell can't prevail against it. But if we go with our American dollar and build a compound and hire a bunch of people, that leads first of all to dependence on America, and that leads to failure, because your faith in man is always in vain. So that is what we are going to do. Gabon itself, how many of you ever heard of Gabon before hearing of my wife and I? All right. Like I said, like the video said, there's not been a civil war. You know why? Because they're the laziest Africans. That's why. That is their title. They are the laziest Africans. That is what they are known as. So when we did go to some of the churches, just to give you an idea of the spiritual climate and what I see there, when you go from about, now it is on the equator, so understand it's going to be about 90 degrees with 100% humidity. So it gets really hot. From about 11:30 to 2:30, everyone just drops whatever they're doing and just finds a place to sit down or lay down and don't do anything for that time. I mean, because if you try to work in that type of environment, if you're in construction or you're in some, you're going to die. I try to walk, and I'm about ready to die. So it is an incredibly unbearable circumstance. I know people in California have a siesta and in other places like that, but it just doesn't work for them. But when we did find some of the different churches we would look at, one of the CMA churches that we visited, I mean, you have these banners up on your wall, and you know, some churches will have something painted or plastered on the back. The Bible verse they had painted right behind their pulpit was, "Marriage is honorable and all, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." That was the verse they figured had to be reached their community first and foremost. So that just gives you an idea of what some of the religious crowd view their own culture as. I'm not going to go into detail. You can talk to your pastor about that. So when we go, they are the laziest Africans. We can still work with them. God can still use them. You know, you can teach them work ethic. But a little bit of their history is that they've never actually had to fight a war before. Throughout all their history, Gabon has always been called Gabon. It's never really been called anything else. The earliest record that I have personally, documented record I have, dates as Gabon all the way back in 2000. All the way far back as 1460s. So it has been called Gabon for a very, very, very long time. It used to have two kings whose names I really can't pronounce. So, and no one else could pronounce them either, so they call them King Louis and King Denis. So, or Denis, if you want to use the French pronunciation. So King Louis, he was a slaver in the South because Africans lived on slavery. That was one of their big exports. And it's still one of their big exports today. Not in Gabon necessarily, but in other African countries, you need to understand, slavery still goes on. Slavery. I try not to touch that too much. The northern part didn't like slavery. They had more of a freer economic system. And France really liked King Denis up in the north. Didn't really care much for King Louis in the south, because even though King Louis had more pull, because if you didn't like him, he was going to make you one of the slaves. So they were trying to balance everything out in the country. France was. Then Portugal sort of came in and says, well, we're the big powerhouse when it comes to European slave trade. Portugal was. And so they kind of took over the ports. They took over the thing. They helped to kind of unify the entire country under King Louis. And so they just kind of capitulated to Portugal for a time. Right before Napoleon came to power, France did away with slavery. They were the first country in the world to actually abolish slavery. Now, Napoleon did bring it back for a short time, but they were the first ones to attempt to abolish slavery, mostly because by the 1500s, there were more European slaves in Africa than there were African slaves anywhere else. So, and if you don't believe me, just read the Marines' history. The very reason we have a Marine Corps was to fight slavery in Africa. So, when we look at that, the country was unified under Portugal. France decided we're going to step in and stop this because, hey, Africa has lots of resources we kind of want, and we're getting bonus points because now we can kick out slavers. And so they pushed Portugal out, took over the port, began to work there in the country now that has been unified. They started getting a lot of slaves, however, from the Mediterranean, because a lot of the slave trade in the Mediterranean would try to come out through the strait there, Strait of Gibraltar, I think, is the one between Spain and Africa. Okay, thank you. So they try to push them out through there into the Atlantic and then sell the slaves outward. Well, now that France has barricaded Portugal and blockaded that entire region, they're intercepting all these slave ships. But you can't bring the slaves to France because that's illegal. So they said, well, we'll send them back. And so they tried to send back all these slaves into the northern parts of Africa, only to find out that the Africans sell their own friends, families, and neighbors into slavery. So it's not necessarily that we conquered you and sold you. It's, hey, our family's doing a little financially tight. How many of you can I sell? And that is the mindset in Africa. You have to understand, it's a very communal mindset. So you know all these people that try to tell you, hey, it takes a village to raise a child? Don't believe it. God made a family. Man established towns and cities. Anyway, ask your pastor about that. So I leave and the pastor gets a huge assignment. So hey, yeah, the packet. Me and your pastor, we're on a team here. I'm not here to contradict him in anything. You ask me a question, and if it's not missions related or African related, I defer everything to him because he is the authority that God set up here in the church, right? I'm not come to set a wedge between you. God hates those that sow division. So if something I say disagrees with something he's taught, I'm wrong. Got it? All right, good. So if you come say, hey, pastor, that missionary said, hey, yeah, that missionary was wrong. All right? So I just want you to understand that real clear because I'm, anyway. So they try to send the slaves back, and the slaves come back on the ships because they got resold. You know, two for the price of one, or one for the, anyway. So they start working with the slaves, and they're like, well, if we just send them back, we just increase our own workload, so what are we going to do with them? What do you do with a bunch of slaves that you can't take back to your own country? You can't send them home. You know what you do with them? You give them a new home. And doesn't the Bible say that you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Christ died for you, and he didn't just say, okay, now go back into your old ways again. Why? Slavery, sin, they're the same thing. If Christ saves you, you just don't go back into the same slavery that enslaved you. Because, well, do I have to be saved again? No, you don't. He died once for all, and your sins were paid in full. He says, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. He's going to prepare a new home for you. Now, France did not really think about that correlation when they did this. God knew, and God sets us up so I can use it as a history lesson while they're all comatose between the hours of 11:30 and 2:30. It's great. Captive audience. They're just laying there. Okay, let me speak to you. You're not going to move. So, great. Get pictures of that for my prayer letter. So, he takes the slaves and they take them all and dump them there in Libreville and say, this is the city of the free. This is now your new home. There is no more slavery in this land. There is no more cannibalism in this land. I'm looking at you, Fang tribe. Hey, they're called Fang for a reason. So, they abolish the slavery. They abolish the cannibalism. They set them out. And now each of the tribes have a portion of land, kind of like what God did with the tribes of Israel. Gives them all their land and say, now from this point to this point, you have free reign in this land. That was never seen anywhere else in Africa. That was the first time anything like that had ever happened. Because before it was, well, this tribe's next to my tribe, and if I take over their tribe, then I get their land. And they said, no, you can't do that anymore. You know what that stops? That stops a lot of fighting. That stops a lot of infighting. But now you've got all these 50 or so tribes that all speak different languages because they're from all over the place. And they don't have much commerce or trade amongst themselves. And they live in relative peace. Which leads to, you know, the fact that you don't fight wars. You don't have civil wars. You can't divide. When the country is divided up into 50 different groups, it's kind of hard to separate them into two and create a civil war. That's just here or there. So that is sort of what the personal understanding of Gabon is. And so they use the French language as a unifying trade language. And so if you want to earn a lot of money, you want to move to the big cities like where we're planning to be, you've got to speak French. So my wife and I, we will be learning French. We're planning to go to the Cedars in Paris, or outside of Paris, rather. And the reason for that is because since we are the first Baptist to go in the country, their mindset is you have to come under a organizational umbrella. So unless there's already a group there by which we are going under, it's very hard to start anything. Well, the problem is there's not really a group there that I can identify with theologically, doctrinally, or even practically. So we've got to go and start our own. Now, understand, we call ourselves independent Baptists, right? Okay. Independent Baptists. Understand, the word independent is a dirty word in Africa. They don't like that idea. Because they're, remember, communal living. Everyone's together. Everyone works for the good of the whole. If you're outside that whole, you're different. We don't like that. Now, can you teach them to be independent Baptists? Yes, you can teach them to be independent Baptists. Just understand that that is going to be a hurdle for us. And especially when working with the government, they're going to say, independent? I don't know if I like this idea anymore. Because we did get to speak to the Prime Minister. She was on board with us coming back. That's great. God opened the doors for that. I don't know of how many missionaries would ever get that type of opportunity, but God allowed that for us. We were able to do that. And we get there, and okay, time is running short. We are getting to the capital city there, and if we speak the Parisian French, they like Parisian French. So that's why we're going to Paris to learn French. Understand? Make good sense? They say, do not go to Canada. Yeah, it's not the same. No, it's not. You will speak hillbilly French. We will not like that. Their words, not mine. you basically were not going to respect you because you did not learn our language. Understand, that's how they see it. If you do not learn my language and speak my dialect, you don't respect me. This is the mindset we're going to work with. And there's 50 tribes. Hey, you know what? I can save and win some of those people in that town and send them out. I don't have to do everything by myself. That's a blessing. I've already been praying, God, send me the Fang. The Fang make up about 40% of the population of Gabon. The Fang are known for their war masks. You ever seen those masks from Africa? The Fang are the ones that created those. Not all the tribes. I know you can buy them in all the different African countries because they want this. But the actual masks are made by the Fang. And so they're known for that. They're known for hunting humans in the woods. But if I can win them and send them into the bush with the gospel. Now, I know you can scare the devil out of somebody, but when a Fang comes after you in the woods, saying, thus saith the Lord, that's some scary preaching right there. That's some fire, hell, and brimstone preaching. Anyway, that's just a little bit about what we're doing. I'll talk a little bit more about Gabon. You come meet me at the table. I do have time for a few questions. If anyone has a question about Gabon, different things. Yes, ma'am, in the back.
So you said you have to go in there under some sort of umbrella something.
Yes.
So you're just making your own umbrella.
Yes. Yes, and it's just a process to do that. Yeah, we have to kind of make our own auspice to get in there, and then that way more missionaries can get in a whole lot easier than what we're having to do. And they can raise a whole lot less money than we have to do. Yes. Yeah, they absolutely despise the French, but they want to be just like them. So it's sort of that younger brother, older brother sort of mentality. So anything France does, they want to do. When France publishers stop publishing in French, like all their authors don't publish in French anymore. They all publish in English. And so Gabon's like, well, we're not publishing in French anymore either. English isn't one of your primary languages. It is now. Great for us. Yes, ma'am. Remember the deaf man I talked about that started churches all across Africa? One of the big things that drew him to Africa was before 1959, if you were deaf, they would kill you in Africa. Remember, because you're outside the group. They would just outright kill you. They'd take you by the ankle, whip you around a tree, throw you in a pit, lose you in the desert, lost you somewhere in the woods. A lot of the whole Tarzan stories are actually deaf people that just get abandoned in the woods and grow up as wild men. So, yeah, the whole Tarzan story actually started in Gabon too. That's neither here nor there, nor in the Bible, so I don't believe it. But, yeah, so he brought the American Sign Language system to the deaf in Africa. And so almost all the deaf in all of Africa are going to use a form of the American Sign Language system.
And are they taught that in public schools in Africa?
No, they teach it themselves. Okay. They teach each other. Okay. They only have one deaf school in all of Gabon. The teachers don't know sign language, neither does the principal, and the kids can't read lips. That's defeating yourself. They've just not been invested enough. And they've not had a civil war because the country's not divided. I mean, when you have the city is Monrovia, Libreville, how many of you remember the war that was fought there? And that was mostly because Americans sent their freed slaves over to Liberia. And then you have the American African culture and you have the native African culture, and they don't mix. And the African culture will eat them alive. Sometimes figuratively, sometimes literally. Yes, again.
How are you going to handle the independent word? Are you going to not have it as part of your church name?
The church name itself, will be decided by those who have already been saved and baptized, and when they want to form themselves into a church, governmentally recognized, they will come up with the name. I don't want to name them because they're not my church. But the independent thing, it's just going to have to be taught why we're independent. There's great pros to being independent. Corruption spreads a lot slower. You get into one, you don't necessarily spread and destroy the whole thing. That's why things like the Methodist Church, they've had two big splits in the last decade. Other boards are having huge splits because you corrupt one, you corrupt the whole thing. And independents don't do that. Again, independents also have a drawback, whereas, you know, because you guys are independent, you have no idea of some of the other good things that are going on, but you all have the same God. You all have a relationship with Him, and you can all continue to work God with God in your lives. So the independence thing, it's just got to be taught. But if they're going to put that in their name, that's got to make their decision. And I can't force that on them. Any other questions? Yes. There is. We've looked at possibly going to be teachers of English, but that takes so much time just to educate. Now, my wife and I were both certified teachers of English as a foreign language. We have our certificates. We went to school and learned all that. But again, just looking at the practicality of it, it's not going to work within the timeline. You know, maybe down the road God can use that. You know, obviously God gave it to us. He might use it. It is definitely a tool. It can keep me in country if things shut down. But right now, that's not our primary focus or goal, or even plan. Any other questions?
How are they doing with the COVID stuff? Are they
a mess like the rest of us? Yeah. The COVID thing is really, really funny here in America. We think it's politicized, yeah. And it is. I'm not going to touch that. So, but you have to understand, it is affecting the whole world over. Right now, in Gabon, it is illegal to meet for corporate worship. Like it is in, I didn't say that. But we recently had three priests of one of the Catholic churches in Libreville. Well, four of them. They went to the church. They said they were going to clean the church building because no one's been there in 2 months. And so they went to clean it, and they all got arrested. Now, they were only held for about 72 hours before being released. But that kind of shows you, okay, someone's watching this. This has been a huge power grab, the COVID thing has been. It everywhere. It really has. One of the things, if you want to pray about right now, Africa does not like homosexuality because it cuts down on how many babies are born. Likewise, they absolutely detest abortions. Culturally, and they just have this stigma against both of them. The problem is now, they don't have the money to support their economics of their westernized civilization. That, you know, we have to try to westernize Africa and build everything up. And they don't have the money or the resources to sustain that. So what they go to is a group called the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. And they are wonderful bastions of moral character, aren't they? And what they do is you get these countries in debt to them. Gabon is $600 million in debt to them. And there's other countries. They're on the good side. There are some that are almost $1.5 billion or more in debt to the IMF. But see, what the IMF says is, we are going to increase your rates and not give you any more money until you promote homosexuality and provide for abortions. In Africa, there are African countries that are forced to cave into this. And those are just two of the many things that they're being forced to accept. And COVID is being used as a way to expedite that process. So, yeah, you can pray for us. Our biggest obstacle right now is just, it's sort of just getting there. The people are hungry. We need to get there. The problem with that is, because we're the first ones, we do need to raise about $7,000 a month for support. That's not for my wife and I to live off of. That's just to pay the fees, pay the insurances, to pay some different things, get some Bibles brought over. Very little of that's actually what we live off of. So if we were going to some other place like Kenya, which already has a Baptist organization that we could go into, I mean, it would be a whole lot less. But we are opening up a whole new field with this, so raising that additional support. COVID kind of helps because, you know, I can't go anywhere anyway. And so the Lord is using that to help me get around America and to we raise more support that way. The biggest need that we have is more laborers. I say we're one of the only ones. Right now I have contact with one national who is in America. He came over to learn medicine. God got a hold of his heart. He got saved. He wants to go back as a preacher. So it's us, him, and right now that's it. If I was running an ad company, that's great. If I'm running this practically, that's horrible. So we need more laborers. We need men. That's primarily who I'm going after, is I need men to come and serve. And I just talked with my mission director. He says, we've just had like two more women sign up to go to Liberia. I'm like, that's great. It's Liberia. It's not Gabon. You know, it's like, I want more men to come to Gabon. Come on. So you can pray for that. We do accept anyone who's willing to be used of God, who will be humble, who will empty themselves of themselves. We do accept youth pastors. We do accept pastors emeritus. We do accept current pastors. So whoever the Lord will send us, but you pray, he might send you. So, dear Father, we thank you for this time that you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity that we've had to share a little bit about Africa. Or as we go into the morning service here in a few moments, that the word will be preached, be understood, we can apply things to our hearts and to our lives. We'll leave here changed, not challenged. Lord, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.